Again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today and to share about Southern Africa Bible College earlier in the Bible class period and to share the Word of God with you at this time. Thank you, Alec, for reading from 1 Thessalonians 1. I appreciate that very much. And did you notice in the reading there are three guidelines or principles involved in Christian living that Paul mentions in verse 3. Faith, hope, and love. And I notice that you're reminded of it with the wall hangings there, faith, hope, and love. So you're reminded of that every time you assemble here to worship God. You're reminded of those three great principles of faith, hope, and love. Well, in this lesson, we're going to zero in on one of those principles, and we'll examine the qualities of faith that are found in that reading in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. We're going to look at faith. Faith as a saving faith. And as we think of faith as a saving faith, the first thing we want to notice is that we are to grow in our faith, a saving faith. And each and every one of us ought to have that desire to grow, to mature, to increase in our faith as we walk our daily lives upon this earth. Faith is really fundamental to Christian living. It's at the very basis for how we live the Christian life. And as we think of faith, a Christian life begins with faith and lives by faith. It begins with a basic belief that God is. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the writer says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." And that reward, of course, comes to us as we seek God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, "For unless you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. He also issued what we call the Great Commission, the marching orders to His disciples following His resurrection from the dead. Here's the message that was to be proclaimed to the whole world, to all of creation, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And then He says in verse 16, "Whoever believes," there's the faith, "whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And so a Christian life begins with the basic fundamental of faith, of belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But also a Christian life lives by faith. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, in describing God's power in the gospel for salvation, states that in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. And then he quotes from that Old Testament book, Habakkuk, in chapter 2 and verse 4, "The righteous shall live by faith." Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And we're very much aware of that each and every day. We walk by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Faith in our Creator. We walk by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, one of a lot of people's favorite passages, I suppose. Although the people mentioned are Old Testament Bible characters, they demonstrate the kind of faith that people living under the New Testament ought to possess. Because these were people who were living by faith. They were walking by faith. But exactly what does that faith look like? When we say we need to live by faith and we need to walk by faith, what are we talking about? How can we know if we're living and walking by that kind of faith? Well, first of all, a saving faith is vibrant. That is, it's active. It's lively. It's energetic. It's moving. James wrote of the active work of faith of Abraham, as seen in his willingness, as we remember that Old Testament story in Genesis 22, his willingness to offer his son Isaac. And then James states in James 2 and verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Abraham's faith was active. It was active in doing what God said for him to do. Now, the men and women of Hebrews 11 were people with dynamic faith. They were people of action. God would speak, He would give them instructions, and they would obey. Why did they obey? Because their faith moved them to action. And so, by faith, Abel offered to God a sacrifice. By faith, Noah constructed an ark. And by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. And in each of those characters and their lives, as well as the rest of them in Hebrews 11, their faith was active. It was working. It was demonstrated. And their faith was completed by their works. Paul used the phrase obedience of faith a couple of times in the Roman letter. In Romans 1 and verse 5, in Romans 16 and verse 26. At the beginning of his letter and at the end of his letter, he used that expression, the obedience of faith. And brethren, that's an active faith. That's a faith that's on the move. That's a faith that's being motivated to obey God's will. And note the vibrant, active faith in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, the passage that Alec read to us. In verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These people had acted upon their faith when they learned the truth about God, and how that those lifeless gods were no gods at all, certainly no gods to believe in and to place your trust in those gods. And Paul reminds them that you turned, there's the action, prompted by their faith. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They turned and they served. And that's what the kind of faith that is a saving faith will do. Four men brought a paralyzed man to Jesus while he was in Capernaum. Jesus was teaching some people. But this man that his friends brought needed to be healed. So they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, and so someone come up with the idea, if we can just cut a hole in the roof, we can lower our friend down to Jesus to be healed. So they lowered him through a hole in the roof. They went to the trouble to make it. And Mark 2 and verse 5 says this about Jesus. He saw their faith. Which brings up the next quality of a saving faith, and that is it's visible. Jesus saw their faith. How do you see someone's faith? You see it by their action. You see it by the things they do, by the way they act. In James 2 and verse 18, James says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The faith of the brethren in Thessalonica was truly visible because Paul acknowledged it. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. Others could see their vibrant faith because their vibrant faith was visible. It was a faith in action. It was a faith that could be demonstrated and could be seen by others. And it made an impression on others, no doubt. And brethren, your faith is visible when you do such things as assemble here for worship. That's your faith in action, and it's visible. And your faith is visible to Jesus when you serve the needs of others. You do for them what needs to be done. You take care of their needs. You show them that you love them. You provide what they need, both physical as well as the spiritual needs. And your faith is visible to Jesus whenever you operate your life by what's called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. From Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 and verse 12. When you treat people how you want to be treated, because that's what Jesus says to do, your faith is visible. And they can see that Jesus is living within you. Your faith is visible to Jesus when you teach a lost soul the saving gospel. You tell others about the good news of Jesus. You tell them about His cross and His forgiveness that He offers. Jesus sees your faith in action. And your faith is visible to Jesus when you stand up to Satan and you say no to his temptations. You say no to sin. And you live for Jesus. Jesus sees that kind of faith. Jesus saw the faith of Al Horn and Eldred Eccles and others who were involved in the establishment of Southern Africa Bible College 59 years ago. And Jesus sees the faith of those living today who keep it going. And Jesus sees the faith of the students enrolled who seek to be equipped in ministry in His kingdom. And Jesus sees your faith in supporting God's work in South Africa, as well as all the other works that you're involved in and that you support. Jesus sees what you're doing here as a congregation. And Jesus is pleased when your faith is truly vibrant and when it's visible. But also as we think of faith, the Bible teaches us it is victorious. Again, in first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, verses 9 through 10, the saints, having turned away from idols and turned to the living God to serve the living and true God, what were they doing? They were waiting for His Son to return from heaven as the great deliverer from the wrath of judgment to come. Basically, what they were doing is looking forward to victory in Jesus, as we sometimes sing the song. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, the song that we have sung, the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, taken from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And so a life that begins with faith and lives by faith will be victorious through faith. It was August 29th, 1986. My wife and I attended a funeral at the Wilshire Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. Maybe some of you were there as well. It was the funeral service for Brother Raymond Kelsey. Raymond Kelsey had been teaching at Oklahoma Christian University for many years, had been serving as the head of the Bible department, and was stepping down from that role. But he had returned from being out of state, I think in Colorado, and returned home one evening, and he became sick. ended up in the hospital, went through emergency surgery, and died during that surgery. And his funeral was being held August 29th, 1986, there at the Wilshire Church of Christ. And as we drove into the parking lot, we saw the sign, the marquee there in the parking lot, the marquee that you could put a message up. And on that marquee were a couple of words. A couple of words that really described the life that Brother Raymond Kelsey lived. You see, he had begun his life with Jesus by faith. He had lived and walked with his Lord by faith. He died in the Lord. And the two words on that sign that described the outcome of such a life were these two words: the victor. That's all that was on the sign. But we certainly knew who those words were describing. The man whose funeral was being held that day. You see, that's true for each of us. At the end of our lives, we can be described as the victors because of our faith in our life in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have some inspiring words from the Apostle Paul, who really describes this victory for those who walk by faith. A victory not only for himself, but for all faithful Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." This morning I ask you, is your faith vibrant, visible, and victorious? And as I ask that question, I'm asking it of myself as well, because that question applies to me. Living by faith. The Thessalonians were making a difference with that kind of life. For Paul tells them in verse 7 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians that they had become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. He went on to say in verse 8, "For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything." But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge for us. Continue to make a difference in this world with your faith. Now, I know that your faith has already gone forth everywhere. People know about this congregation because your faith has been vibrant and visible. You have been walking by faith. Not only can the Lord Jesus see your faith, but others can see your faith. Other brethren are encouraged by your example. And the challenge is, may it continue to be so. May your faith continue to be a shining light. Paul started out his second letter to the same church, the church in Thessalonica. He starts out the second letter by saying, "Your faith is growing abundantly chapter 1 and verse 3. And what was happening in the church in Thessalonica can happen, ought to happen, and no doubt is happening in the Garriott Road Church of Christ. It is growing abundantly. So I encourage you to grow and increase in this quality. Do your part to strengthen not only this church with a vibrant, visible, and victorious faith, but do your part to encourage brethren elsewhere with this kind of faith. When you live by this kind of faith, a saving faith, you truly will make a difference in the kingdom of God, in your community, and throughout the world. It may be someone here this morning, like the new sister in Christ has done here, is willing to obey the gospel. Perhaps you're at that point where you have understood what it means to have salvation in Jesus Christ. You realize it requires a faith in Jesus. Maybe you're at that point. And Jesus calls upon us to repent of our sins, to turn away from Satan and evil. And maybe you're at that point. And we're called upon to confess with our mouths that wonderful name of Jesus and confess our belief and our commitment to Him. And then what follows is to be buried with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. And maybe you're at the point you're ready to do that. But it may be that as a child of God, maybe for a short time or for many, many years, you need to rededicate yourself to living by that saving faith. The faith that is vibrant, that is visible, that is victorious. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, I encourage you to do so as we stand to sing.